Thanks for listening to the Sandy Clef Podcast, brought to you by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. They have what you're looking for, whether it's wine, spirits, or craft beer. Argonaut has it. Argonaut delivers, too. Proudly serving Denver for over 50 years. Shop online at ArgonautLiquor.com.
I'm bored with the same old thing. I need something different and fun.
Argonaut has it.
I'm also looking for great selection, service, and low prices.
Argonaut has it.
Oh, some of my buddies are coming over this weekend. Query, I need to find Jack Daniels at an amazing price.
Argonaut has it. Argonaut has free parking, and they deliver. Mm.
Where are they located?
760 East Colfax Avenue, or shop online at ArgonautLiquor.com. Argonaut has been serving Denver proudly for 50 years. Remember, you want it. Argonaut has it.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Sandy Clough.
Hey, and good morning. Welcome. We'll get right to it on this 23rd day of August 2016. Sandy Clough with you on your home for the best coverage of the Broncos and the NFL, Denver Sports Station Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. In times of uncertainty in sports, we turn for the best insight that we can possibly offer, particularly from a psychological point of view, to our good friend, the good doctor, Rick Perea, who will be in studio for the next hour, for the full hour. So your comments, your questions, your criticisms are welcome, both on the Total Beverage text line at 29588 and on the phones at 303-228-1043. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a little more than 3.5 years since you made your debut with us, right after the divisional playoff loss in January of 2013 by the Broncos to the Baltimore Ravens. And what a ride it has been. You were in on major elements of Denver's remarkable run to a championship last year. You're currently working with the Rockies, set to go with the Nuggets later this fall. And performance psychologist to the stars and many of the leading professional and collegiate enterprises. DK2 Motivation and Performance is the best way to make contact. And we begin this morning with something that I'm sure you've thought about and talked about, given your experience with at least one of the three contestants for the Broncos starting quarterback job, Rick. You know Trevor Siemian pretty well,
yes,
both from a collegiate and professional point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, it's great to be back. Great to be with you, Sandy. Yeah, I know Trevor pretty well, both from when he was at Northwestern. His coach, offensive coordinator Mick McCall, was actually my college coach. So I go to Northwestern on a regular basis and visit them as well as the Chicago Bears. So I've been around him at the collegiate level, and then last year, as you mentioned, I was around him as the Broncos performance psychologist, and I was able to, you know, get an up-close view of him from his personality perspective. And I think that's something important to understand. I know we always want to evaluate players from the neck down,
yeah,
but we've got to also understand from the neck up. I call it the checkup from the neck up, and we've got to understand players and that their personality really has an impact on their performance. In fact, when you watch a player's performance, that is their psychological element that plays into that. So players that play with confidence, players that don't play with confidence, that all starts in the mind. We have a favorite saying that says effort, energy, and attitude all start in the mind, because they really do.
You know, I said something to you before we came on the air that you felt last year, although he was never, barring emergency, going to be playing very much, and we know he only had the one kneel-down snap in the game at Pittsburgh right before the end of the first half, but you thought he picked up on what you were advancing about as fast as anybody did, particularly among the newcomers, people being groomed for enhanced roles with the team, that he was one of your brighter pupils, as it were.
Yeah, you know, Trevor is a very bright, perceptive individual. His personality is very regulated. You know, he doesn't get too high or too low, but he's very perceptive and he picks up on things right away. You know, it depends on what type of quarterback you want. There's some quarterbacks in this league that thrive off of energy and passion, you know, a la Ben Roethlisberger. You know, I have so many clients in the NFL, and his name comes up so much, Sandy. I mean, I talk to receivers that says, man, I'd love to play with him because he's a guy that plays with passion and energy. But then there's other quarterbacks that are very regulated. You know, we have one down in Miami, our starter there, that really is very regulated. And that's benefit. You know, they stay within the system, but it also can limit them in terms of playmaking ability. So Trevor is very regulated. He's on a very calm level, even to the point where I would call him quiet. And when you have that kind of personality, it has its benefits, but it also has its detractors.
I'll give my opinion out, and again, we talked about it at length yesterday on the quarterback situation, that I think if Mark Sanchez is not the backup, then there's no real point in keeping him around. It looks more and more like Simeon would be the starter not only on Saturday night but on opening day, just as a practical matter. If you're leaning in that direction now, unless he completely implodes on Saturday night, and he really hasn't completely imploded at all during the preseason, whether he's been impressive enough to deserve the official designation, well, that hasn't been forthcoming yet. Presumably, that will be the way it's announced next week. If Lynch is the backup, then Sanchez at $4.5 million as your third quarterback makes little or no sense. What did you watch before we go to the break? What did you observe about Saturday night? Not just in terms of tangible things, but the intangible things. First from Simeon, then from Sanchez.
Yeah, well, again, it's very consistent to what they've been in the past. You know, Trevor, again, very regulated, very consistent in what he did. Even though, you know, you throw a pick six, that's going to happen. And again, so people understand, when a quarterback throws an interception, it's not always their fault. There's receivers that don't run the right depth in their routes. There's reads that are not made, so it's not always the quarterback's fault. But again, Sanchez is a guy that plays with a little more energy and passion, which again can have some deficits. So I think it was consistent with them going into the season and their images. But I think in terms of Trevor, it brings an element of consistency. Now, let's not forget this either. You know, I was on the practice field all last year, and I watched him throw up close. Physiologically, he throws a better ball than both of them right now. He's got a sneaky strong arm. I mean, he can throw a 15-yard out from the far hash, and that ball just zips there.
Sometimes they call it a quick arm, right?
Yeah, he's got a quick arm, and that ball just zips in there, and receivers love to get that ball there in a hurry because then they're not set up, if you will, by being laid out by the defensive back. So from a mental perspective, I think Trevor would have the advantage over Sanchez. That's the way I would see it right now, and I think that's probably what the Broncos see as well.
Gary Kubiak said he wasn't bothered by Mark Sanchez's post-game comments. He said yesterday, that's Mark. He's a competitive guy. He talked about opportunity. I saw some of the comments. That's the type of guy you want out there battling every day. I'm proud of all of them. They've been working hard. Mark's a competitor. He'll bounce back. But I wonder deep down what the reaction would be when someone says, for example, I squandered my chance to win the starting job. It's candid, but it isn't the stuff of a leader. Even more discouraging, I think, might be what he said when asked if it was difficult to not know who would be the team starter so deep in the preseason, and said it's difficult playing like crap on two plays and ruining an opportunity. That's difficult. That can't be your leader.
No. What,
from your point of view, and we'll give you a time here of 3 or 4 minutes during the break to contemplate your answer, was that the right answer from your point of view? It gets high marks for candor, but was that the right answer? Dr. Rick Perea for the entire hour in studio. Sandy Clef with you on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Reminding you again of the Fan Football Fest presented by Bullet Bourbon and Kettle One, Friday, September 2nd. Doubletree DTC, Bronco players in attendance, including Chris Harris, Benny Fowler, Shaq Barrett, and more. Live music. Crawfish Boil, all the fan hosts there hanging out. Best and biggest kickoff party in Denver. Fantasy football table still available to conduct your league's draft in our war room. Cecil will be on hand for that. Want to party all night with us? You don't have to go home. Get a special fan discounted room rate. Reserve your room and purchase your tickets now at 1043thefan.com. Dr. Rick Perea, our in-studio guest during the first hour. Your questions and comments both on the Total Beverage text line at 29588 and on the phones at 303-228-1043. Before we get to Mark Sanchez, with whom you have spent some time during the offseason, from the 720, please address Mark Schlereth's critique of Simeon. Stink felt that he played scared after the pick six. Not how you want a player to respond to adversity. That's from Paul. We now know that in attempting to make a tackle on the pick six, he jammed his shoulder. That may have had something to do with the throws made, but I made that same observation yesterday with both Simeon and Sanchez. After their mistakes, they were given additional time on the field. Neither seem to respond well. Your response to that being a critique that Simeon is too much of a flatliner, that he doesn't exude that kind of energy, though that seems to be who he is.
Correct.
That's his temperament.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I want the listener to understand as well, too, is that there's more variables involved than just how well a quarterback plays. He's got play calls that are being sent in, different personnel groupings that will influence the play calls and how he attacks. I mean, if you're not allowed to really attack the defense in a systematic way based on preseason, certain personnel groupings, you don't want to show too much in the preseason. So we can't always get an accurate reading on quarterback performance because there's so much that involves in terms of play call and personnel groupings. Now, that being said, you know, you can look at nonverbal communication and watch these quarterbacks after they throw a pick six and determine whether they really are believing in themselves. I call them convicted believers. And convicted believers, they look like they want to go out there and attack no matter what. Trevor's personality is not as such. Again, let's compare him to Ben Roethlisberger, not in terms of accomplishment and career, but in terms of their nonverbal communication. Ben is a guy that you can hook your trailer to and say, let's go. And even other players throughout the league, receivers that I work with, say, man, I'd love to play with that guy. Whereas Trevor is still developing, but he is a guy that's more, again, consistent, more plays within a regulated realm. So we're not going to see necessarily that high up and down, you know, performance from him. But again, I wouldn't read too much into how he performed after the pick six, because it was also, you know, he plays a dependent position, play calls, personnel groupings, and it's the preseason.
Gary said after the game it was a poor play call.
Yeah.
On second and 16.
Yeah.
And arguably, Demaryius didn't run the best possible route or didn't make the proper adjustment. I still think that the pick was mostly on Trevor, but he's thrown one in two games. And
right.
Again, you're talking from a psychological point of view. The stats may show something else, but you think in terms of the competition right now, you know Gary Kubiak pretty well. You think he's made up his mind, even though he says he hasn't definitively.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's made up his mind completely, but he's probably leaning in a very strong way, which is great. I mean, that's typical. Let's back up a minute here, Sandy. The Broncos have a very unusual situation at quarterback. I mean, you've lost your basic starter in Peyton. He retired.
Yes.
Then you lose your guy who really was supposed to be the face of the franchise going forward. He's gone. So you really basically have two new guys. The guy that was in there was a rookie last year who was really considered to be kind of a backup, perennial backup,
right,
who's been pressed into play. Partly because of his competency and his performance, but also I think just because it's a very unusual situation they have. So, you know, to say Gary has made his decision, I wouldn't say that. I think it's probably still up in the air, but I think he's leaning towards a decision that he's already showed his hand.
I've used the tennis analogy, and I applied it to Simeon last week. He's serving for the set. And maybe he got broken, but then Sanchez got broken too, and now they're in the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, you know, with Trevor, I mean, he does come with a pedigree. He is a very intelligent, perceptive young man. And I think he's going to help you more than he hurts you. And, you know, based on Gary's personality, that's kind of what he wants in his offensive scheme.
About Mark Sanchez, you had an interesting first encounter with him. It started with what you believe was a very positive gesture. Sanchez and the offensive lineman visiting the Rocky clubhouse earlier this year.
Yeah. As Sandy said, I do all the performance psychology stuff for the Colorado Rockies. And you know, Mark brought the offensive line to a game, and they came in the clubhouse, and it was great seeing the guys again, all the offensive linemen. And that was really kind of the first time I met Mark, and we talked for a few minutes. And you know, I think it was Ty Sombrello that introduced me to him, someone in the offensive line. And it was interesting to me because when he found out my title, performance psychologist, he made a comment to me that was really kind of a deficit-based comment, if you will. I don't think I'm comfortable sharing what it is specifically, but he's made a comment to me that I thought, it's interesting that he comes at it from that angle. So I think Mark has a real – here's what we depict in performance psychology. We call asset thinking and deficit thinking. There's some athletes that really perform from a deficit base. They leverage themselves. They try to encourage themselves because they say, I better do this or else – and they threaten themselves, and they play out of fear. It's a fear-based performance. Now, some people are successful at that, and I say successful with quotation marks, because usually that's short-lived. The other asset piece is people play because they love the game. They love, you know, putting their talents and really comparing them to the competition. But, you know, from my perception and my interaction with Mark from that time, I came away thinking that, you know, he kind of operates from that deficit model. And again, there's been people that have done it over time, but it's not long-term lasting. So if I were working with him, that's the piece I would work on, is to help him be more of an asset thinker and what he can do as opposed to what he can't do.
All right. We'll give you a couple of things to mull over here on the text line. Do you think with Trevor getting the start on Saturday that this is in any way the coach's method of motivating Sanchez? I don't know about that. What about you?
No, I don't.
Motivation
think so.
Is not his problem. He knows what's at stake.
Right.
He is not fooling himself in that regard. He knows his career is on the line here.
Yeah. And again, if the type of motivation that the listener is depicting is what we call extrinsic motivation, external motivation. You know, the best athletes in the world, the best performers in the world are what we call intrinsically motivated. They're motivated from within, Sandy, because they love the game. They love to perform just because they love the competition, the camaraderie. When you have to be motivated from an extrinsic perspective, in other words, external, meaning, okay, this guy's either is going to take your position, that therefore you better play harder, then those people, again, that extrinsic motivation doesn't last long term. So I don't think it's done out of that, you know, psychological leverage, if you will. It's more just, okay, here's who we feel comfortable with at this point. He's been the one that has performed. Again, he's the one that helps the Denver Broncos more than he hurts them. And, you know, the thing with Sanchez, again, let's be honest. Let's look at his record. He does help teams, but he does hurt teams in terms of his turnover ratio.
And the timing of his turnovers.
And, you know, with Gary, I think Gary was looking for someone that can be more of an asset aspect to their quarterback position instead of a deficit.
All right, we know Simeon will start the third preseason game. No second quarterback is announced at this point, but that may be just as interesting as Simeon starting. Who comes in back of Simeon, whether it's during the first half or sometime in the third quarter. We'll talk about some other issues, including your association with Adam Gase, the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and what he's got to work with. The owner may have put some pressure on him right away when he said, well, we'll look at the next 3 years. We expect to be in the playoffs within the next 3 years, if not win the division within the next 3 years. Good thing or bad thing? And we'll get to some of your evaluation on the college football scene, particularly with reference to your work at Texas A&M and for a very long period of time, Nick Saban and Alabama. Dr. Rick Perea in studio. Sandy Clef with you on your home for the best coverage of the Broncos and the NFL. Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. Thanks for listening to the Sandy Clef Podcast, brought to you by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. They have what you're looking for, whether it's wine, spirits, or craft beer. Argonaut has it. Argonaut delivers too. Proudly serving Denver for over 50 years. Shop online at argonautliquor.com.
I'm bored with the same old thing. I need something different and fun.
Argonaut has it.
I'm also looking for great selection, service, and low prices.
Argonaut has it.
Oh, some of my buddies are coming over this weekend. Query, I need to find Jack Daniels at an amazing price.
Argonaut has it. Argonaut has free parking, and they deliver. Mm.
Where are they located?
760 East Colfax Avenue, or shop online at argonautliquor.com. Argonaut has been serving Denver proudly for 50 years. Remember, you want it, Argonaut has it.
Our guest in studio for the full hour here at 1031 is Dr. Rick Perea, and we're talking during the break. It's fascinating. I know you've worked with many players collegiately and professionally down through the years, but recently there's been an increased tendency on the part of coaches to seek out your counsel and work your program.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Head coaches and assistant coaches alike.
Head coaches, coordinators, position coaches, all the like, are really starting to understand how we can help them develop. I had two position coaches last year in the NFL that literally came to me and said, I've heard about the work you do. I want to become a coordinator. It hasn't happened for me over the several years. Can you help me develop? And I'm proud to say that both of those position coaches became coordinators. Now, I'm not saying because of me, but it's working together. And we don't tell them scheme and X's and O's. We teach leadership skills. We teach communication skills. How to understand motivation. There's a whole science to motivation. So it's happening more and more often where I have head coaches will come to me and say, hey, I heard about the work you did with this guy. Can you help me regulate anxiety? Because I don't even remember the first 10 play calls last week in the first quarter because of their anxiety was so high. So we've got to understand, and I want the listeners to understand, it's not just players that battle anxiety. It's coaches too. And the difference is now is we have more and more coaches that are willing to raise their hand and say, hey, I need some help. I think what helps with that, Sandy, is they know I was a former player. They know I've coached. So I've been around the game, and so they trust me a little bit more than the average person, and I'm able to get in and help them. So it's really satisfying to watch coaches' development, because here's one thing I want the listeners to understand. Top organizations like Google and Apple, they continually develop their people, leadership training, communication training. And for us to think that in pro sports, we just put a coach in a job and hope and wish and pray that he has success, we've got to continually develop their KSAs, their knowledge, their skills, and abilities.
And with Adam Gase, who have worked particularly closely over the years, now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, interesting situation he comes into. But his history, Peyton Manning had his best year and has a locker, from what we understand, down in Miami.
Yes, sir.
Working closely with the Dolphins and with Gase in this preseason period. And, of course, Jay Cutler had arguably his best year, certainly his best year in Chicago last year with Adam Gase as offensive coordinator.
Absolutely. You know, Cutler had his best quarterback rating in his career last year. The tutelage of Adam Gase. Yeah, you know, my relationship with Adam Gase is beyond football. We've connected in the last 2.5 years, primarily on a professional level, but we're also a very good fit personally, too. He's a cutting-edge guy. He's always looking for new and creative ways to be innovative. Let me give you an example. This year, we were the first team. When I say we, I'm talking about the Miami Dolphins. We were the first team in the history to fly in all the parents from our draft choices after the draft. We had a weekend symposium where we brought in all the parents, met them, really gave them an educational symposium about what to expect in the upcoming year. You know, Sandy, let me give you a demographic picture of what we're dealing with. Out of all of our draft choices, we flew in all the parents. Half of those parents had never been on an airplane. That'll tell you about them demographically and who we're dealing with and how we can educate them. I think some people think the players go to practice at 8, they're done at 10, and then they have the rest of the day to go to the beach and hang out. That's not the case. So we educated parents. And I can tell you specifically, our draft choice in the first round, Laramie Tunsil. I was able to meet his mom, sit down with her, have a great conversation with her. And I can tell you this, when she left that weekend, she was so comfortable. She came up to me, Sandy, and says, I am so comfortable that Laramie's here with this team because I know you're here and I know you're in his corner. So, and here's the impact that
had. For people not familiar, he was expected to go earlier in the first round than he did. Ends up with Miami. It may have turned out, may have cost him a little money, but may have turned out for his career for the best.
Absolutely. And here's the key to that is, so now going forward, his mom trusts us. We trust her. We understand a little bit more about Laramie going forward. But here's the impact that Adam Gase is already having on the NFL, and he hasn't even coached his first regular season game. So after that happened, I had calls from at least 8 teams that said, hey, we heard about you flying in the parents. How did that go? So I'll guarantee you this, Sandy, this coming year, there'll be at least 15 teams that'll do that, and then the next year, all 32 teams. So what I mean by Adam Gase is cutting edge. He's always thinking of creative ways to get better, and a lot of time it's off the field, because he knows how much of an impact that has on the field.
We got to know the Houston Texans and Bill O'Brien a little bit last year during the Hard Knocks series, and obviously the Rams are being featured this year. But last year, it was I found O'Brien to be fascinating.
Yes.
A combination of traits. A guy who had a good sense of humor, who could laugh at himself, could be tough on players, and we saw some of that during his assistant coaching days as offensive coordinator in New England, getting into it with Brady a time or two on the sidelines during games. You've encountered him, and you're obviously working a little bit with his quarterback right now. Osweiler, you knew. O'Brien, obviously, you were meeting for the first time. How did he strike you? Did he surprise you?
Yeah, he did, because from the outside looking in, he kind of has that tough East Coast mentality. You know, he coached at Penn State, and he is kind of that rough and tough kind of guy. But I'll tell you what, so reflective. You know, I was down in Houston about 3 weeks ago, down at training camp, working with my guy, and, you know, I met him, and, you know, he was very reflective when I met him. We had about a 10-minute conversation face-to-face, and then we talked further on text messages and calls. But very reflective. You know, he again, one of those coaches that says, you know what, how can I get better? How can I learn to regulate myself in these situations so I can reach my players in profound ways? And that, to me, is all you can ask. And you know what's interesting to me, Sandy, is the best coaches out there are the first one to raise their hands and say, how can I get better? So with O'Brien, I thought he was very reflective. He said, thank you for working with my guy. Thank you for developing him and improving him. And you know what? Let's keep an open air of communication between you and I, because you can help me as well. And you know what? When guys are open like that, we have a chance to be the best we can be.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he spent some time, we forget this, at Penn State.
Yes.
In the wake of a scandal there, and did a pretty good job.
Absolutely.
During the time he was there. So here's a guy who is not a first-time head coach, but reaching out for your help. And, of course, Adam Gase is, I think, the hot coach in the game right now among the first-time up-and-comers, relatively inexperienced coaches.
Yeah.
With a mandate to produce success within a 3-year period. But with Adam, what little I know of Adam, and you know him far better than I do, he kind of embraces that. In fact, his aspirations may exceed that of the owner.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to rein him in a little bit sometimes.
Absolutely. And you know what? He wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, he's one of those guys, let's bring it on, let's get it on. You know, what I think of, I was in Dallas last Friday night when we played the Cowboys, and they handed it to us. There's no doubt about it. You know, but I can remember the talk he had with the team after the game. We're in the locker room, and he didn't say a lot verbally, but non-verbally, he spoke volumes. He had that look in his eye, and he says, you know what, we've got to get better on the offensive side, defensive side, special teams, and that starts tomorrow. It starts on your day off, how you carry yourself, the nutrition you put in your body, everything. But no, he embraces competition, and that's why I'm such a good fit with him, Sandy, because I'll tell you what, I'll line up and go. I'll run through any wall through a guy that wants to say, how can I get better every day? Because that's what I do. I'm always put pressure on myself to be the best I can be. And that's what we do at DK2 every day. We try to get better every day and help people get better.
We'll come back and we'll talk about the Rockies and your experience with them. And it's as far as I know, your first extended contact with a Major League Baseball team.
Yes.
And the Rockies are a fascinating case study. Some of your general impressions of what's going on with the Rockies right now coming next with Dr. Rick Perea in studio on Denver's Sports Station, your home for the best coverage of the Broncos and the NFL, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Again, the Fan Football Fest is coming up Friday, September 2nd, presented by Bullet Bourbon and Kettle One. Bronco players in attendance, Chris Harris, Benny Fowler, Shaq Barrett, and more. Live music, crawfish boil, all the Fan hosts hanging out. The best and biggest kickoff party in Denver this year. Fantasy football tables still available to conduct your league's draft in our war room. Cecil will be on hand for that. Want to party all night with us? You don't have to go home. Get a special Fan discounted room rate. Reserve your room and purchase your tickets now at 1043thefan.com. Dr. Rick Perea, our in-studio guest, performance psychologist, DK2 Motivation and Performance. You've been asked already about ways in which people might make contact with you, develop greater familiarity with your program.
Yeah. Yeah, if they need to reach me, they can reach me at Dr. spelled out, Dr. P at DK2 Motivation and Performance, or they can just Google Dr. Rick Perea and you'll see we have an office off I-25 in Arapahoe Road.
We'll get to some texts because they do relate to high school athletics, youth programs, and the like. But first, your experience with the Rockies. It's been a fascinating year. My sense is that while the record doesn't necessarily show it, I think they're generally on the right path. It's your first extended exposure to a Major League Baseball team, 162 games.
Right.
Over a period of, I think, fewer than 200 days. What's it like being around a baseball team in a major league clubhouse?
Yeah, it's very different. I've been around college teams and worked with college teams, but never at the major league level. But it's been great. I've really enjoyed my process. It goes all the way back to spring training and, you know, immersing myself with the team there. It's, you know, I've really been impressed with the layers of levels with the Rockies. Truly. I mean, I've been around NFL, NBA, college, you name it. But, you know, Jeff Breidich, I think, does an outstanding job. He's a forward thinker. He's bright. I love talking to Jeff. We have great conversations. I think he's the right guy for the job. And I think the Rockies are starting to show some of the fruits. You know, they're competitive. We got a little nastiness to us now. We compete and we fight. And we've lost a lot of games, you know, at the end by one run. And I think as time goes on, we're going to win the majority of those. I mean, we got great guys in the clubhouse. We got great management and great ownership. I've been supported from day one, and that's been an outstanding, you know, place to be.
Interesting to get that perspective, because I think it came as a little bit of a surprise to you looking at it from the outside and listening to the critiques over the years, most of which I think have been eminently fair. But I do think Breidich is a different sort of general manager, and any doubts about his link with his predecessor, Dan O'Dowd, and or Bill Guyvette, I think have been allayed by the fact that it's been proven, certainly with the Tulowitzki trade, that he's not ready or not reluctant to take a chance.
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you something.
And make a move with a popular player on some levels in Tulowitzki. But
yeah.
You say you've been impressed individually. When you speak of Nasty, you think of Blackman, but you think in a different way of a guy like DJ LeMahieu. I know you've come to like a lot.
Yeah,
who's a smooth guy, not outwardly emotional or fiery, but is having a terrific year at the plate as well as in the field.
Absolutely, DJ is just a treasure to be around. You know, he's a competitor. He fights. He takes his craft seriously. But it's like so many guys on this team, Sandy. You know, Cargo is another one. that's a we guy, not a me guy, but a we guy. He's always trying to bring his players up around him, togetherness.
You think he's a terrific leader?
Oh, he's an outstanding leader, and he has not gotten credit for that in the past.
Right.
And he's now learning to be a little more verbal and vocal, and you know that's part of what I do is I develop players for leadership pieces too. But, I mean, we have so many pieces. You know, you mentioned Blackman. I mean, Blackman is a professional. He goes about every day just very systematically. So it's really been a pleasure. I mean, there's really no deficits to speak of. Obviously, I'd love to be 20 games above 500, and we'll get there. It may not be this season, but we will get there because we have the right ingredients on all levels of the Rockies organization.
I think the Nuggets and the Rockies are kind of in the same place,
yes,
where the Nuggets going into this season need to challenge for a playoff spot.
Yes.
They don't necessarily need to get there, but they need to mount a very serious challenge. I thought Malone's first year was pretty good. It's a nice start. They need to get closer. Rockies, same thing, looking ahead to next year.
Absolutely.
And just your idea on the starting rotation now. I made the point not too recently, and very recently, actually, within the last week, about their rotation, and I think this still holds true, nobody has a losing record among the five starters. They've all had some ups and downs, but it looks like, especially if you add Hoffman to it maybe next year,
mm-hmm,
looks like a rotation you can win with.
Yes.
For years to come, and not just a rotation that's thrown together.
Yes, and for me, in my perspective, it's not so much the quantitative assessment of the record. It's more the qualitative assessment in that, are they convicted believers? Again, that term. They're convicted. They're in their belief systems. They come to the park every day trying to get better, always open to new and creative ideas to help them reach their potential, both mentally and physically. So, no, I mean, it's, you know, it's full speed ahead, full throttle ahead. I'm very excited for the Rockies in the future, and I think, like I said, with all the guys we have in that clubhouse that are we guys, I mean, they're pulling on the rope in the same direction. It can only get better. I'm excited for the future.
They haven't been as good as people had hoped at home this year, but you saw the promise in the last homestand, taking 2 out of 3 from Washington, 2 out of 3 from the Cubs over the weekend. All right, before we get through, I know you always like to come out here and talk about high school athletes, high school athletics. We have a perfect question from a texter from the 303. I'm a youth football coach. I have a 12-year-old kid who is as big as a house but is shy and timid. What is the best way to get the most out of him so he can enjoy the game, which is the idea at that age?
Absolutely. Great question. Here's my simplistic evaluation. Let him play. Just let him play. Let him evolve. He, you know, the term was, what was he, quiet and shy? Is that what he said?
Yeah, shy and timid.
Shy and timid. You know what? That's okay at 12 years old. They're still developing their personality. Here's a story I tell that people need to understand. As parents, as coaches, we get impatient. We don't let our children develop at their rate. You know, some of the kids that are all world at 12 years old, by the time they're 18, they're not even playing. Some of the kids that can't even walk and chew gum at 12, they're getting Division I scholarships. So as parents, as coaches, be patient, let him develop. That kid who's big as a house, let him play into his personality. I was the same way. I wasn't a very good football player till I was a junior, senior in high school. What if my parents or a coach had given up on me? You know, Mark Mullaney, who played 12 years for the Minnesota Vikings in the NFL, graduated George Washington High School at 6'190", walked on at CSU as a DB. 5 years later, he's a number one draft choice at 6'6", 260. What if his parents or coaches said, well, you know, maybe you should try another sport? Be patient with those young adolescents. They may be timid and shy now. Let them play. Build them. Always encourage them. Build their belief systems every day, and they will evolve. What happens, the biggest mistake we make as parents and coaches is we think we can impart motivation on them by pushing them. And here's a quote we have in our office. It's hard to be driven when you're being driven. And I will leave you with that. Let them develop their own intrinsic motivation. They'll find their way. They'll be intrinsically motivated, and then they'll be where they're supposed to be.
You always bring it strong. The hour flies by. We'll do this more regularly.
Absolutely.
Now you'll be busy here locally finishing off the Rockies season, starting up with the Nuggets, feeling the Colorado Avalanche might need some help. I don't know if you're in the business of helping them select their next coach. We hear an announcement could come as early as tomorrow on that, but it's a fascinating time in Denver sports, and we always appreciate your insight, your wisdom, your perspective, and good luck.
Thank you,
in your increasingly busy schedule and set of endeavors. We really appreciate it. I know the audience does. And
thank you, Sandy.
Boy, we start off with the football season
yes.
in less than 2.5 weeks.
Thank you. I just want to say it's so great to have you back on there. You are unique in what you do. You're the best in the universe, in my opinion, in the United States, at what you do. I'm excited. I'm excited for football season. I look forward to my next visit.
Well, I thank you for everything you've done, both on and off the air, and I know you're continuing to help, and I think it's great that you're continuing to work with people like the texter who just
yes.
wrote in, and high school kids, too, that you devote a chunk of your time for that. I don't know how you do it, but we appreciate the hour that you spent with us today, and we'll do this again very soon.
Thank you, Sandy.
Appreciate it. Dr. Rick Perea, our in-studio guest during the first hour. Cecil will join us during hour number two. We'll take your phone calls and your texts on Bronco-related subjects. Gary Kubiak making the announcement yesterday. Is it a definitive choice on the quarterbacks or something less than that? And what of Mark Sanchez if Paxton Lynch now has moved ahead of Sanchez, the wisdom, the viability of keeping Sanchez as a third quarterback. Although there are some people out there, the text line, and I'm inclined to agree, at least in part with them, is don't count him out entirely as a starting possibility for September 8th. This is your home for the best Broncos and NFL coverage on the planet, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.